Blog Talk Radio.
Our Bible class with our very own Nadine Wiggins. And while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening, I will play another short selection. Praise God.
Just gotta wait. You gotta trust in him and give him time.
No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God. You can't hurry.
You can't hurry.
He'll be there.
Don't you worry.
Don't you worry.
Well, he may not come when you call him,
but he's right on time.
Oh, you can't hurry, God. Oh no, you just gotta wait.
Gotta trust him and give him time.
No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God. You can't hurry.
You can't hurry.
Lady Nadine Wiggins is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise.
Their consistent family and support, and lovingly urges them to center their actions and thoughts on the person, pursuit, and power of Jesus Christ, while also seeking to correct the problem with disunity and rivalry, urging his readers to imitate Christ in his humility and servanthood. And in this way, the work of the gospel will go forward as believers seek to stand fast, be of the same mind, rejoice always, and pray about everything.
Amen.
You know, so it's how these things, just, you know, how these problems, how, you know, remain in churches today. Unity, the rivalry, and people just wanting to be in leadership, and it's just so amazing how this continues in our church. But the book of Philippians is broken up into four parts, the first part is called Accounts of Circumstances, and it's Partakers of Christ, and that's in the first chapter. And it deals with suffering and experience. And all of this is the place that Paul is doing this is in Rome, okay? The second part of the book is Appeal to Have the Mind of Christ. And this is directed to people of Christ. And that's what chapter 2 entails. So it requires a submission, an example. In order for us to have a mind of Christ, we have to submit ourselves. And then chapter 3 is a pursuit of Christ. And that is our salvation and our exhortation. And then the last chapter talks about the power of Christ. It is appeal to have peace in Christ. And appeal to have peace in Christ. And the topic is sanctification. It's talking about how we are to live as Christians. And so, and he wrote this in AD 62. So again, Paul, this is the introduction and title, Paul writes a thank you note to the believers at Philippi for their help in his hour of need, and he uses the occasion to set along some instructions on Christian unity. His central thought is simple. Only in Christ are real unity and joy possible. With Christ as your model of humility and service, you can enjoy a oneness of purpose, of attitude, of goal, and labor, a truth which Paul illustrates from his own life, and one the Philippians desperately need to hear. Within their own ranks, fellow workers in the Philippian church are at odds, hindering the work in proclaiming new life in Christ. Because of this, Paul exhorts the church to stand fast, to be of the same mind, rejoice in the Lord always, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. This epistle is called Philippians. To the Philippians, the church of Philippi was the first church Paul had founded in Macedonia. So that scripture, which is taken from chapter 4, verses, we're going to get into it. We're going to read it anyway. But that scripture, I had to, I used to always post it around for Shani, my daughter, and I think I told you, she actually tattooed this scripture, because she's always anxious, you know, she suffers from anxiety. But I told her, you tattooed it in the wrong place. It's on your back. You can't see it. She got tattooed on the back of her shoulder. I said, you can't see the scripture.
Right.
You need to see it. But anyway, the author, we already know, is one of Pauline authorship of the Philippians. It's very strong. We know that Paul wrote this. Now, the date and setting. So, in 356 B.C., King Philip of Macedonia, he was the father of Alexander the Great, took this town and expanded it, renaming it Philippi. The Romans captured it in 168 B.C. and in 42 B.C., the defeat of the forces of Brutus and Cassius by those of Antony and Octavian, later Augustus, took place outside the city. Octavian turned Philippi into a Roman colony. You can see that in Acts 16:12, where it says, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony. And we were staying in the city for some days. So it was a military outpost. So the citizens of this colony were regarded as citizens of Rome and given a number of special privileges. Because Philippi was a military city and not a commercial center, there were not enough Jews for a synagogue when Paul came. Okay, so there was no synagogue in this city. So if there wasn't a synagogue in the city, what do you think most of the people in the city were?
Whoever you are.
If there wasn't a synagogue in the city because it wasn't enough food, what do you think the majority of the people there were?
Gentile.
That's right. It's either one or the other, man. So the majority of the people in this city were Gentile. So Paul's Macedonian call in Troas during his second missionary journey led to his ministry in Philippi with the conversion of Lydia and others. Paul and Silas were beaten and imprisoned, but this resulted in the conversion of the Philippian jailer. The magistrates were placed in a dangerous position by beating Roman citizens without a trial. Right? So we can see that in Hilda, can you get Acts 16:37-40?
Yes.
Okay. So the magistrates were in trouble. So they were supposed to be Roman citizens without
That's
a trial.
That's right.
And we know that Paul was a Roman citizen.
Okay. That's Acts 16?
Yes, 37 and 40.
Okay, 37 through 40. It doesn't go to 37.
Acts chapter 16.
Oh, that's John. Sorry. My bad. I thought I had Acts. Oh, I know what happened. It's Acts 16. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
37. But Paul replied, they have publicly beaten us without a trial and put us in prison. And we are Roman citizens. So now they want us to leave secretly? Certainly not. Let them come themselves to release us. When the police report this, the city officials were alarmed to learn that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. So they came to the jail and apologized to them. Then they brought them out and begged them to leave the city. When Paul and Silas left the prison, they returned to the home of Lydia. There they met with the believers and encouraged them once more. Then they left town. Amen.
Yeah, that's it. And that embarrassment may have prevented future reprisals against the new Christians in Philippi. Paul visited the Philippians again on his third missionary journey. When they heard of his Roman imprisonment, the Philippians first sent Epaphroditus with financial
Epaphroditus.
They sent him with financial help, and we can see that in chapter 4 and 18, where it says, but I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am well supplied because I received from Epaphroditus what you had sent, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. They had helped Paul in this way on at least two other occasions, and that was 4:16 that says, because even in Thessalonica, on more than one occasion, you sent for my need, but Epaphroditus almost died of an illness, yet remained with Paul long enough for the Philippians to receive word of his malady. Upon his recovery, Paul sent this letter back with him to Philippi. And that, if you can get Sister Barbara's chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 25 through 30.
Okay. But for right now, I'm dispatching Epaphroditus, my good friend and companion in my work. You sent him to help me out. Now I'm sending him to help you out. He has been wanting in the worst way to get back with you, especially since recovering from the illness you heard about. He's been, as you know, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, he had mercy on me too. His death would have been one huge grief piled on top of all the others. So you can see why I'm so delighted to send him on to you. When you see him again, hale and hearty, know that you're rejoiced and now relieved. And relieved I'll be. Give him a grand welcome, a joyful embrace. People like him deserve the best.
Wow.
The best you can give. Remember the ministry to me? And that you started but weren't able to complete. Well, yeah, how far? You said 25?
To 30.
Okay, well, in the process of finishing up that work, he put his life on the line and nearly died doing it. And the word of the Lord is already blessed.
Amen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like how Paul said, you know, not only did God spare his life, God spared me
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
I would have grief upon grief if he had died.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly.
I hear that. Grief upon grief.
Mm-hmm.
So Silas, Timothy, Luke, Paul, first came to Philippi in 851. 11 years before Paul wrote this letter, certain references, like 1:13, where it says, so that my imprisonment in Christ has become known to the whole praetorium and to all the rest, and he also said in 4:22, all the saints greet you, and especially those in Caesar's house. That these references suggest that it was written from Rome, although some commentators argue that Caesar or Ephesus. Paul's life was at stake, and he was evidently awaiting the verdict of the imperial court. And we can see that in Romans 2. So, could you get go to 2 and read 20 through 20?
Romans?
20, yeah. No, not Romans.
Philippians.
Philippians, yeah, 2.
Okay, 2.
Read 20 to 25. So we read 25 already.
Okay, 20 to 25. 19:20. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. But you know how Timothy has proved himself. Like a son with his father, he has served with me in preaching the good news. I hope to send him to you just as soon as I find out what is going to happen to me here. And I have confidence from the Lord that I myself will come to see you soon. 25. Meanwhile, I thought I should send Parodius back to you. He is Epaphroditus, yes, sorry. Back to you. He is a true brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, and he was your messenger to help me in my need. Amen.
Right. So we see that Paul was waiting for the verdict, you know, by the imperial court. Yeah, but he felt confident that he would definitely be able to leave the prison. Okay.
Yes.
So the theme and purpose. This letter was written to convey Paul's love and gratitude for the believers of Philippi and to exhort them to a lifestyle of unity, holiness, and joy. Paul evidently enjoyed a very warm relationship with the Philippian church, perhaps his favorite. They were more sensitive and responsive to the financial needs than any other church. You see that in 4:16 through 18. So, could you get that?
Mm-hmm.
And Sister Barbara, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11.
Say that again.
2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11.
Okay.
And 4 and 15 through 18 says,
yeah.
As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with
Epaphroditus,
thank you. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. Amen.
That's wonderful.
Amen.
Second Corinthians.
And you said 2 Corinthians 8, verse 11?
Yes.
Okay, mine goes from 10 to 20, so stop me when I finish 11. I'll start at 10.
Okay.
So here's what I think. The best thing you can do right now is to finish what you started last year and not let those good intentions grow stale. Your heart's been in the right place all along. You've got what it takes to finish it up. So go to it. Once the committee is clear, you do what you can, not what you can. The heart regulates the hand.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. And appear to have no, so we already know that church, Philippians, was the only church that helped Paul out.
Mm-hmm.
And appear to have no major problems in their midst. Philippians was not written because of any crisis, but to express Paul's affection for them, his gratitude for their gifts, his encouragement concerning their Christian growth, his admonition against false teaching, and his thoughts about his circumstances. Paul gave the Philippians the latest news of his imprisonment and growing ministry in the proper propagation. Thank you. In the propagation of the gospel. And we see that in chapter 1, verses 12 through 20. Hilda, can you read that? The propagation of the gospel.
Okay, 1, 12 through 20. 12. Yeah. Paul's joy that Christ is preached. 12 says, and I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me. For they know I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerity, intending to make change more painful to me. But that doesn't matter whether their motives are false or genuine. The message about Christ is being preached either way. So I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. Do 20?
Thank you. Yes, the 20. Mm-hmm.
Okay. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. Amen.
Amen. So he talked about the propagation of the gospel, spreading the word.
Mm-hmm.
Our other motives were not of Christ, right? Their motives were different.
Yes.
Okay. And he wanted to prepare them for the coming of Timothy and possibly himself. And I'll read that in chapter 2, verses 19 through 24, where it says, if the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope to send Timothy to you soon for a visit. Then he can cheer me up by telling me how you are getting along. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. But you know how Timothy has proved himself. Like a son with his father, he has served with me in preaching the good news. I hope to send him to you just as soon as I find out what is going to happen to me here. And I have confidence from the Lord that I myself will come to see you soon.
Amen.
So mm-hmm. He also warned them of the twin dangers, legalism and antinomianism. Legalism and antinomianism. Now, I don't know what antinomianism is, so I'm going to look it up. I know what legalism is. Legalism is, going back to the law, like following the law. But can somebody look up antinomianism unless somebody knows what it means? Okay.
Antinomianism?
Mm-hmm.
Try to Google it.
Yeah, good.
Antinomianism.
Relating to the view that Christians are released.
You found it?
Yes. It says relating to the view that Christians are released by grace from the obligation of observing the moral law, a person holding antinomianism belief.
I don't know what the definition means.
That was the definition. It's talking about the release by grace. They were released by grace from the obligation of observing the moral law. That's the adjective, and the noun, it says, a person holding antinomianism belief. Antinomianism. And That's the regular dictionary.
So here it says, the doctrine according to which Christians are freed by grace from the necessity of obeying the Mosaic law.
Mm-hmm.
The antinomianism rejected the very notion of obedience to legalists. And to them, the good life flows from the inner working of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's what we believe in, right? Because of grace, we free from the law.
Yep.
So why is he saying that? He warned them of the cleansing legalism and antinomianism. But this was more of a preventive than a corrective measure. On the other hand, Paul recognized a growing problem of disunity in the Philippian church and sought to correct it before it became severe. Okay. So we have a key verse. There's two key verses in Philippians. One is Acts 1:21, Hilda. And the other one is Philippians 1:21. And Sister Barbara, the other verse is 4:12.
Okay.
For that.
1:21 says, for to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. Amen?
Yeah. Okay. 4:12.
And mine is, I've learned by now to be quite content without any circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as whether full or hungry. So I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me.
Yes. Yes. So that's 4:12. And then the key chapter is chapter 2, which I feel like we read most of chapter 2. We didn't read the beginning of chapter 2. So, because we started at 20.
Mm-hmm.
So we should read 1 through chapter 2, 1 through 20. Hilda, you want to do that?
Okay. Chapter 2. Philippians
1 through 20.
Okay, joy in serving. Have the attitude of Christ. Verse 1 says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being when he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Dear friends, you always follow my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of God. Then, on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain, and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice, even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. If the Lord Jesus is willing, I hope to send Timothy.
I think I read that already, Hilda.
Oh, 19?
You did.
Okay. Well, you said up to 20. Okay, that's it. Praise be to God.
Yeah. Amen, amen, amen. So, those are the key chapters and verses. So, Christ and Philippians, the great kenosis passage is one of several portraits of Christ in the epistle. In chapter 1, Paul sees Christ as his life, when he says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." In chapter 2, Christ is the model of true humility. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, which is 2 and 5. In chapter 3, presents him as the one who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body. And that's in 3:21. Let me just see it because I have it right here. Let's see. 3:21 says, who will transform our humble body to be conformed to his glorious body in accordance with the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. And then we see in chapter 4, he is the source of Paul's power over circumstances, where we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Mm-hmm.
In chapter 4, verse 13.
Mm.
Beautiful. Come on. So, of course, the contribution to the Bible, this warm, informal letter verbalizes Paul's love for a group of people to unparalleled degree. The spontaneous words of affection to the beloved Philippians are not diluted by the problems of doctrine, discipline, or disorder that persistently marred Paul's relationship with some churches. Because of its informality, Philippians rapidly shifts from topic to topic without regard to a strict outline, just as one would expect
from a personal letter. It also reveals Paul's true motivation and devotion to the cause and the gospel. And we see that in chapter 3. Chapter 3. Well, we'll read chapter 3 when we come back next week.
Yeah.
We'll stop here. Mm-hmm. And that's it. We got about 10 minutes, but we can stop here because when we come back next week, we'll read chapter 3 and continue on in Philippians.
Okay. Amen.
Boy,
we almost finished Philippians.
Yeah, I like these Philippians people helping Paul out. They're to give him financial, and no other church thought to help him out. That's so amazing, don't you think?
Well, that's how much they love Paul.
Yeah, they didn't have it, I think. More so, not that they didn't want to. I don't think they had it. They weren't capable financially.
Oh, could be.
That's a possibility. That
could be
a
combination, but yeah.
Oh, Nadine got disconnected. Maybe she'll come back in.
Okay.
Yep, so definitely. The Philippians were very good to Paul because, you know, they had it like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that their church was the only church that, because then they had a lot of financial stuff like gold and money and stuff like that. So
But I know they were in a position to help him when others weren't, when other churches weren't or didn't. But I know he relied on the Philippians to do that.
Right.
And they came through.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think that if that was the situation, he would have said. I mean, because he, you know, I don't see Paul as being selfish to say in that way that no other church helped me. I mean, I think that if they weren't capable of doing it, then I think Paul would have been able to understand that. But it seemed like he really had a compassion for them because whatever they had, they shared with him. And I think also, too, that the way that the churches were, you know, were set up then, you know, everybody gave, and that was the whole, it wasn't like now. I mean, everybody then gave, and they gave to help each other out, you know. So I think, I don't see Paul saying, no other church helped me if he knew that they couldn't. Or he knew that there was a problem with them not being able to help him. That's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, it's just I like this Philippian book thing here. I like it a lot.
Nice book. So we'll find out. You said read chapter 3 for homework? Is that what I heard?
No, we'll read chapter 3 when we come back.
Okay. All right. So, ladies, I guess I'll see you on Saturday, God willing, around 5, a little before 5.
Amen.
So about 8, right?
Yes.
So pray us out before you go, Sister Barbara.
All right. Precious and Heavenly Fathers, once more and again, a few of your humble servants assembled to give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you, Lord, for Nadine for helping us walk through the Bible, through the Bible. And we thank Evangelist Hilda for her part. And we just thank you, God, for being so in it, so profoundly in it. We love you.
Yeah.
We can't do anything without you. Bless our families and our friends and our enemies, too. And, Lord, while you're doing all that, forgive us of our sins and kick the devil out.
I'm asking that in your loving and merciful son's name, our Savior,
yes.
your son, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Have a beautiful evening.
All right.
Love
guys.
You all.
Okay, love you, ladies. Have a good
love
one.
You, so you too. Shalom. Kisses. Blessings.
I'm thinking
kisses. Shalom.
Bye. Shalom.
Okay. Good night.